starting when you're on.
Okay, Parshas Shmos. We begin not only a new Parsha, but a new Sefer. And one of the very mysterious chapters or stories of in this Parsha is when Moshe, this is at the Shishi Aliyah, we begin this particular short but mysterious episode, when Moshe is now in Midian and he's already gotten the call to go back to Mitzrayim to lead hopefully the Geula of his people. And he's now married and he has a son. And Hashem tells him that he has to go back and he's on his way. And then we hear in Pasuk Chav Dalid, Vehiba Derech Bamalon, they're on the way. It's more than a one-day trip. They have to stop off at night. V'kasheyu Hashem v'yevakesh hamiso. Pun intended. Unbelievable. Oh my gosh. Hashem shows up in an angel or whatever form and wants to kill Moshe. Why does Hashem want to kill Moshe? What did he do wrong? So says Rashi, V'yavake shamiso hamalach l'Moshe, this angel, the representative of Hashem, wants to kill Moshe. V'shalom malas Eliezer b'no. V'al shenis Rashel ne'enash onash onash misa. Because he had not given his son a bris, he was chayim misa, and therefore Hashem came to punish him. Sensing, it's not clear from the pasuk exactly how she sensed this. Either she perceived the nevuah, maybe Moshe had symptoms, you know, maybe all of a sudden he was getting weak, she saw he was dying, so Tzipporah comes to the rescue, Vatigach Tzipporah Tzur, she takes some kind of a sharp stone, the Tichros is Arla's Beno, and she cuts off the Arla, she does the Brismila, the Toga L'Raglav, and touched it to his feet. That's a separate issue, not for us. Tomer ki chasan damim atoli. And she says to him, you know, and it says, you were almost killing my husband. You were almost killing my husband. A very, very mysterious story. And if this would be a real chumash here, so there would be one to talk about from a chumash or a hashkafa and parshanut perspective, but since this is really a halachic shir, what I wanted to do is use this story as a springboard to speak about the halachic question and generally what is the status of a woman as a mohel, or I guess you could say a mohelet, I guess would be the accurate Hebrew term. Now I was just curious, I googled the word woman and circumcision.
We're not going to talk about what Moshe did wrong?
No.
Right?
No. Oh, sorry. If you have what to say, you have to come closer and speak up. But that was what I was going to talk about. Okay, I'm sorry. You should know, I googled words women and circumcision, and then I realized that I was getting to stuff that's inappropriate in Africa. So then I did women in Brit Mila, I think, or something like that, and I found the same JTA article in two different newspapers, one of which was dated the 26th of December. I'm not sure if it was really that current, or maybe it was just because I was looking at it on that day of the week. But the other one I saw, I think, had more or less the same article, but from a year ago. So it's not more than a year old. And it was all about the move within Reform Judaism to be very much pushing women mohalot. And it mentioned, first of all, the conservative rabbis who were quoted being very emphatic that, of course, there's nothing wrong with this. And then it even mentioned Orthodox rabbis, which it added, would not go on record, as in essence saying, yes, you're right, really, technically, there is nothing wrong with it. So a very intriguing article, just kind of as a juxtaposition, that it's not so lamaisa in the everyday the life that we travel, so to speak, I don't think. But at least in certain parts of the circles, it's even somewhat practical. So let's take a look and see if we can understand the sugya on its own right, and also what we can learn about Bris Mila. There are some yesodos that come out of this topic that really, beyond the issue of women being a moel, but even inform the sugya of Mila in general. The makor for this discussion in Chazal is the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin. There the Gemara has a famous discussion about the fact that a guy, a non-Jew, is not allowed to be, or seems like shouldn't do a milah. That's what the Gemara seems to say. However, there's a machlokes, what's the makor for this? So one man, the Amar, says it comes from the pasuk in what's it called? This comes from the pasuk in Bereishis in Perek Yud Zayin. Va'ata es brishti tishmor. You should keep my bris. So that's Ata, that's the Jewish people, and that's no one else, let's say. And the other opinion of Yochanan says it comes actually from a few psukim later, where we say himol yimol. Only someone who is himol, only someone who is circumcised, who is gemalt, can then do the yimol, can do the circumcision. So the Gemara has a whole discussion, what's the nafkamina, what pasuk it is, everyone agrees that its import is that a guy should not do a bris milah. So the Gemara gives different suggestions as to what might be the nafkamina. And one of them is women. Women will be a nafkamina. Why? So it's interesting the way the Gemara learns it. Va'atez brisi tishmor, the Gemara says, here, I'm telling you, I might have learned this Gemara just the opposite. But I think that the way the Gemara seems to say is, if you say that's the makor, so that's only someone who has practically or actively had a bris. You must be brisi tishmor. You must do it. So there's nothing wrong. A woman didn't do anything wrong. That's true. But she didn't have brisi tishmor. She didn't do the bris. And therefore, says the Gemara, according to that opinion, she would be excluded from being a mohel. However, himol yimol, which again, on the surface, you might have thought means you really practically have to be gemalt, says the Gemara, no. How does the Gemara know this? So we actually, if you just saw this snapshot of the Gemara, it's not clear. And when I first was looking this up, I was breaking my head on it. And I realized, like many things, you got to take a few steps back in the Gemara and see what's coming. So what's coming was the previous nafkamina that had been suggested was the tragic case known as Echav Mesav Machmas Milah. You have a boy who had older brothers who all died tragically as a result of a bris. So once that happens enough times, we say to the family, you know what? You don't do it anymore to your child. So let's say you have a child who didn't have a bris, and the reason was because his older brothers had died. So could he be a Moel? That was one of the proposed nafkaminas. And there also, the Gemara had thought to say in the opposite direction, that himol yimol means only someone who's practically circumcised could do it. But this boy, even though, again, through no fault of his own, didn't do the circumcision, so he can't do it. And the Gemara rejected that from, of all places, Hilchos Nedarim. Because there the Gemara says, if someone takes a neder, not to have any hana from a mahul, someone who is circumcised. So the Gemara, the halacha is, the Hilchos Nedarim, nothing to do with Hilchos Milah. The halacha is, if you take such a neder, you're not allowed to have hana, not only from all circumcised Jews, but from all Jews. Because, and it quotes a pasuk, that in a certain sense, Jews as a people are referred to as mahul, non-Jews are referred to as an orel, or orelim. This one could be circumcised, this one's not circumcised. Anachanami, but on some level that has to do with our general, I guess, genetic, so to speak, uniqueness, our uniqueness as a Jewish people. And one of the ways our peoplehood is symbolized is through being known as Mahul, as opposed to non-Jews, who are known as Arelim. So that being said the Gemara, Himol Yimol means you have to be part of the, as long as you're from the people who are Gemalt, you're part of the Jewish people who are known as Moalim, so then you are included. So that's what the Gemara had already said about the boy whose brothers died. So too says the Gemara when it comes to an Isha. If this is the Makar, according to Yochanan, that's the Makar, why a Jew should be a Mohel and not a non-Jew, it also would allow for a Jewish female to be a Mohelet, because even though she's obviously not practically circumcised, that's Atas Brisi Tishmor. She can't do it according to that Pasuk. But Himo Yimol means if you're from the people who are circumcised, you're from the Jewish people, then you could do a Bris. Now, at this point, an obvious question should be screaming out. It was obvious to the Gemara too, even though they didn't happen to be, at least I don't think it was coincidental that this machlokas occurred on the Friday before Parsha Shmos. But especially for us, this is obvious, which is that how could there be any machlokas about whether a woman can be a moel or not if we see that Tzipora did it? Isn't that a raya, obviously, that you can do a bris milah? The Gemara asked the question. How could you say that you can't? Atas Brisi Tishmor, Tzipora did it. So the Gemara first says, well, basically, there's two answers the Gemara offers. And the Gemara connects both of these answers to the fact that in the pasuk that we read at the beginning of the shir, the term, the words could be read, as the Gemara chooses to, in a passive voice. Vatikach and Vatichros. Now, it could also just be grammatical for female and feminine. But the Gemara understands both of those as being somewhat passive. And the Gemara suggests perhaps Vatikach means that she may have taken the sharp object and she gave it to a man to do. That's the first answer of the Gemara. The Gemara does not say that it was Moshe, but I'm not sure who else it would have been. Maybe Moshe was too sick at that point. I'm not sure, but that's what the Gemara says. She, Vatikach, maybe she took the stone, but she gave it to somebody else. And the Tichros is even more intriguing, that she started the Mila and Moshe finished it. Two different answers in the Gemara. Now, it's also worth noting that at an earlier stage in the Gemara does have a very intriguing formulation. Again, it's borrowed from the earlier section of the Gemara, which speaks about this tragic case of someone's brothers having died from Mila. But in both of those cases, the Gemara has a phrase. Again, it's interesting. There's not so many commentaries on the daf to try to, you would think that everyone would want to try to know what does this mean. But basically, the Gemara says that in these cases where someone in essence was potter, like, that it's as if, it's chashev kinimile dami, that it's as if they were Gemara. We look at them as if they were circumcised. Now again, it doesn't mean practically, again, but pashtus, it means, again, that there's certainly nothing wrong with the fact that they weren't, and whatever benefit, so to speak, or chusim that would accrue to someone who would get circumcised accrues to these people, even though they weren't. Yes? You mean the echav machas mila? Yes, I think so. It's not like imams or anything like that. I don't remember the halacha about Korban Pesach. The answer might be that she can't. I don't remember. You remember? That's a sugya. That's a sugya, I think, in Yevamos. I think that's a sugya in Yevamos. It's a good kasha. It's a good point. I should have looked it up. I apologize. That's a good question. Now, I want to, before we get to the halacha of how do we paskin, because we see here a machlokas aposkin, whether the Reform women rabbis can be moalim. Whether they can be rabbis, I don't know, but the question is, could they be moalim? So, where that seems to be the assumption. Or that at the very least we can learn from it. Because right, that's not what the Gemara did not answer Kodem Matan Torah verse 1. The Gemara did not answer that. So first of all, just one kind of two points which are, I think, interesting and just kind of housekeeping, if you will, before we get to the Machloka Saposkim of Hadapaskin. One is, which is very, very central, which is that some of you may remember, we've learned these sugyas. Our Gemara Shiur on Shabbos did it more intensively, and even, I think we did it in one of the Thursday night Shurim, and that is that this L'chora relates to the famous sugya Masechta Kiddushin on Avchavtes, where we want to know whether a mother is obligated to circumcise her son. And the truth of the matter is that we generally assume that there's a chiyuv on the father, and if the father can't do it, so he'll get a shliach. But really, the pure chiyuv is for the father to do the circumcision. And the Gemara asks the question, what about the mother? So we don't always think it all the way through, but if you take a step back for a moment and think about it, in essence, what the Gemara there, in its havamina of the woman is considering the possibility that a woman might even be obligated in her son's circumcision, and there's no reason in the Gemara to assume that if the answer would have been yes, that she couldn't do it herself. Now, even if she's putter, which is the conclusion of the Gemara in Kiddushin, just because you're putter doesn't necessarily mean you can't do it. That's why we have a whole separate sugya in Avodah Zarah to discuss. But Tosfos in Avodah Zarah asks, what is going on? How do we understand these two Gemaras in light of each other? After all, the Gemara there said, how do we know that a mother is not obligated in her own son's bris milah? Oh, so the pasuk says that was Avram commanded to do the bris milah. Oh, so he was commanded velo osa and not the mother. Frektosis and avodah zarah on our Gemara on our daf. Why does the Gemara need that pasuk? We could just say according to this man the Amar in the Gemara she's puzzled. Now again, if we think of it in terms of our own practical experiences, we wouldn't have had such a discussion. Does anyone here do their own son's milah? One, two of you? None of us? Okay, one, two. Okay, the two doctors. Not surprising, right? No one else did, right? So we think of a father being obligated. We don't necessarily you put the equal sign as doing the bris. But halachically, it was really the same thing. As it happens to be, as some of you may know, and this I think we have also discussed, it's a huge discussion whether you're allowed to have someone else do the bris milah for you, especially if you know how. Especially if you know how, it's not pasha, you're even allowed to have someone else do it for you. That's the famous opinion of the Shah, who says if you know how to do a bris milah, you're not allowed to give it over to somebody else. So that being the case, says Tosfos, why did the Gemara need to give this pasuk? Once we know, according to that opinion in our Gemara, that a woman cannot do a bris milah, and according to the two answers in the Gemara, even Sipora didn't really do the bris milah, in that case, obviously she couldn't be obligated to do her own son's bris if it wouldn't have been even qualified, it wouldn't have been kosher. That was the kasha of Tosfos. Tosfos answers a very fascinating answer, which is our first example of something where we're focusing on the narrow issue of women as a moel, but it's a good window into what has added benefits for us, and that is it relates to broader bris milah Torah, which is certainly very practical for us to know. And that is, Tosfos, an interesting answer. Tosfos says, if you wouldn't have had our Gemara, if our Gemara teaches us that she can't do the bris, but if you didn't have the Gemara in Kiddushin, you might have thought, okay, she's not going to do the bris, but she's obligated to do everything that you and I, notwithstanding Barry and Joel, that the rest of us did. Namely, that we did all the hishtadlus. We prepared and made sure that there would be a bris. Not just that we hired a moel, but we hired a caterer, we got the balloons, and we got the little kids to come over, and all the important things, and we made sure that there was an omelet station, and right, fresh bagels for everyone to take doubles for lunch. And we did everything. We did the hishtadlus for the bris. Says Tosfos, you might have thought that the mother was chayiv, and that, kamash malan, oso v'lo oso, she's not even chayiv. Now, the reason that this is a very important Tosfos is because I did not know about it. That's not the other reason. What I mean to say in all seriousness is, there is Arshita in Rishonim that talks about bris milah in this way in Kiddushin, which is a Tosfos written Kiddushin, and also a Marach or Zeruah, Chaim, the son of the Or Zeruah, also from the Rishonim. I did not know, though, previously when we had our Gemara Shira Masech Kedushin, I did not know that it's also the Tosfos and Avodah Zarah. Namely, now I'm not saying the Tosfos here is identical with them, but those Rishonim define the mitzvah of Mila, or the Chiyav Ha'av, excuse me, in Mila, as not making sure, not doing the bris, which is what most Rishonim hold. They define mitzvahs milah, the third, the one in Parshas Lech Lecha, right? We're counting the Taryag, where it says bris milah. So those Rishonim have a tremendous chiddush. The definition of that mitzvah called bris milah in the Torah is not the actual circumcision. It's making sure and doing all the preparations of the circumcision. It's not just a word game. It's not just semantics. I'll give you tremendous chiddush that those Rishonim say. The Tosfos Rid says that because of that fact, mitzvah smila is not limited to 8th day. Right? You call the caterer you call the moel from the hospital, kind of book him, and you got to call the caterer by the next day or two, and then you got to call the shul to book that. All of those are part of the mitzvah smila. Those Rishonim say that's why mila is not a mitzvah seishas man groma. The eye is limited to the daytime and the day 8. That's only the actual circumcision. But all the preparations for the circumcision could apply at night, at day, first day, second day, third day. And those are part and parcel of the mitzvah of Mila. And therefore, it's not a mitzvah on Groma, because it's not limited to daytime or to even the day 8. That's a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Most Rishonim disagree with it in Masech the Kiddushin. I'm just pointing out that even if it's not identical, because our Tosfos here in Avodah Zarah speaks about this in addition to the actual circumcision, but it is another example, and if we could say such a thing, an even more mainstream Rishon, if you will, a more central commentary, who's also, at least on some level, if not totally, but partially, acknowledging this expanded definition of bris milah to encompass not just the actual circumcision, but even these preparations. So it's one thing if it's just the Tosfos Rid, just the Marach or the Ruah, but here we have a Tosfos that seems to say something similar as well. Yes? Exactly, and according to... So the Shaila is, what chus are they getting? Are they just getting, Jewish mother's chus? Jewish wife's chus helping their husband? Or do they have a chelik in the kiyum of bris milah? So, yeah, tell your wife, kim li katosis rid. Right? No! 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 Bris Mila is not a mitzvah zman groma. It's still not a mitzvah zman groma. Why not? You should have come to the Kiddushin Shurim. Okay. It's not a mitzvah zman groma. That the Gemara is clear about, because the Gemara says, why are women exempt? because of the pasuk. And all the Rishonim Shrai Gevalt, why not to Mrs. Magrama? If it's not Mrs. Magrama, why not? So that's different shitas. And Tosus Rid was one of them, and now we could add this Tosus in a certain sense to the thrust of it. I just want to mention one other point, again, peripheral, but it's just Chaval if we don't mention it. We're like passing through the night, but you know, just we should just grab a hold of things as we're passing by even before we get to our main destination. And that is that there's a well-known chiddush of Rav Yosef Engel, which has broad implications, but sure enough, wouldn't you know, one of them relates to our topic. And that is an essay that Rav Yosef Engel has a number of different svarim, one of which, really one of my favorites, called the Asvun d'Araisa. So one of the essays in the Asvun d'Araisa, Simon Yud Aleph, he has the following chiddush. This is a real classic Onershach chiddush. Says Rav Yosef Engel the following. You have some mitzvos which are formulated in the asay, even about mitzvahs asay, but you have somewhere the goal of the mitzvah, the actual mitzvah is the active fulfillment of action X. That's what Ratzon HaTorah is, that you should do X. But then you have other mitzvahs which are, even if they're quote unquote mitzvahs asay, but they're written in what he calls the shlila, they're written in the negative, meaning don't do it this way, i.e. do it that way. Or you don't have to do it, but if you'll do it, right, the Torah says you don't have to do it, but if you do it this way. So you take a step back, the Torah isn't saying you have to do it. That's not Ratzon HaTorah. The Ratzon HaTorah is just not to do it the wrong way. So mainly you have to do it the right way, but if you don't want to do it at all, you have to do it at all. So I shouldn't confuse you, I'll give you an example. His original example that he was speaking about is Sukkah. Sukkah. His Kiddush is that the mitzvah Sukkah, certainly beyond the first night, fits into this category. After all, the Torah doesn't say you have to eat in the sukkah the rest of the yontif. The Torah just says if you're eating a mezonos, you're having a kriya suda, you're making a motzi, you can't eat outside of the sukkah. So take a step back for a second, says Joseph Engel. What is Ratzon HaTorah? Even though this is formulated as Mitzvah Aseh, right? If I went in, I'd make a bracha, cha-ching, I'd get a Mitzvah Aseh called Kiyam Mitzvah Sukkah. But what is Ratzon HaTorah, if we think about it in those terms? Is Ratzon HaTorah that I should eat in the sukkah? Says Joseph Engel, no. Ratzon HaTorah is that I shouldn't eat outside the sukkah. You could give other examples, exactly. Tzitzis, I think, is one of his other examples. The famous one that he gives is Sukkah. What's, and you'll say, good, fine. So what? What's the Nafkamina? So he wants to say, if that's the case, what's the status of someone who's Potter? What's the status of someone who's Potter? So he says, it depends. When the Torah says, I want you to do X, but so-and-so's Potter from it, so there's no problem if they didn't do it, but the fact that they didn't do it, it's not that they did do it, just that it's not their fault, we don't hold it against them if they didn't do it. How, that's intuitive. His chiddush is, when you have one of these mitzvahs, quote-unquote, b'shlila, as he calls it, where the only Ratzon HaTorah is that you shouldn't do it the wrong way, somebody who's not even chayiv in that is as if command that they did it. It's as if they fulfilled the mitzvah. We don't look, for example, he says, at women who are not in the sukkah as they're not in the sukkah, but they don't have to be. But rather, they are 100% fulfilling the Ratzon HaTorah. Because after all, the Ratzon HaTorah isn't that you should eat in the sukkah. If it was, then they'd be potter, but they didn't do it. Rather, it's that you shouldn't, if you're obligated, eat outside the sukkah. But if you're not obligated, then you have not lost anything. Now, this is a very highly debatable chiddush. And you can imagine, it's so stimulating and so provocative that it attracts all sorts of attention. The famous Minchas Chinuch discussing it seems to agree, disagree. A whole cottage industry of Torah surrounds, so to speak, this idea. I mention it to you because he has a proof from our Gemara. That's one of his proofs. Because after all, according to the second opinion in the Gemara, that the reason why a woman might be exempt from bris milah, of doing the bris milah for her son, or for anybody for that matter, a woman moheles, is himol yimol. So himol, as we said, means someone who is circumcised should yimol. And yet, it's according to that pasuk that we said a woman could do. That's not the reason why you would say a woman couldn't. That's the pasuk that the Gemara says a woman would do a bris milah. Says the Rav Yosef Engel, how do you understand that? But the Maisa, she didn't get circumcised. So how could you call her a himol, someone who was circumcised? Says Rav Yosef Engel, you see from this that bris milah is also part of this pattern. The Ratzon HaTorah isn't that you should be circumcised. The Ratzon HaTorah is that you shouldn't be an Orel. You shouldn't have a foreskin. Which is not obvious, but that's also not his Chiddush. That's famously associated with the Beis HaLevi. That the purpose of Bris Milah is not the actual circumcision, it's that resulting status of being a Mahul and no longer being an Orel. But Rav Yosef Engel borrows that idea and incorporates that into his overall thesis. And he says, given the fact that that we understand Bris Milah in such a manner, that it's not, you have to do X. It's that you can't be Y. And to avoid Y, Mamele, you have to do X. You can't be an Orel. So Mamele, you have to do circumcision. But if that's the case, that's one of these categories, like he understands Sukkah, like he may understand Tzitzis, and therefore someone who's Pother, it's not just that they're Pother, but rather it's as if they're a Himol. It's as if they did it. Now again, very debatable, and you could question it. I'm not here, I don't want to get bogged down in it. It's a famous Rav Yosef Engel, and Chabal, not to mention it, given the fact that one of the things that he builds his thesis on, we could take down the thesis, we could take down his structure, but one of the things that he does build it on is in fact our Gemara. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. Yeah.
You're saying if you create a problem for that law, according to what you're saying in front of you, maybe...
How do you understand that?
That's
correct. That's a big discussion. How do you understand why they need that Tafas Nambris? That's a discussion. And you're right. You're right. And they point out that the even in our Gemara itself, how do you understand the sugya of the mace of Echav Ma'akmas Mila? Right. He also doesn't have to have a bris mila at all. Right. Not even a Tafas Nambris. So how do you understand him? Does that mean that he also is viewed as circumcised? That gets back to the question you asked me before about Karban Pesach. It's a big sugya. I'm not telling you to buy his chiddush. I'm just saying it's a very fascinating one, and wouldn't you know it, he relates it to our sugya. Oh. Although we assume that they're not chayiv because of that. Right? Women are not chayiv midaraisa, presumably in benching, because they're not included in bris and not included in aretz. So the fact that they say it doesn't mean that they're chayiv in it. Okay? Again, all of that, I don't think there'd be a riot, because all of that is a way to... There is a mitzvah called Bris Milah. No one's denying that. The shaila is, what's the goal of that? The way he puts it is, what's Ratzon HaTorah? His point is that you have to get out of the status of being an Orel. That's the goal. The goal isn't Bris Milah, the goal is not being an Orel. How do you get out of that? So there's a whole laundry list of halachas, but those halachas aren't going to change. Whatever those halachas are or aren't, doesn't change, per se, his thesis, which is that the goal... His focus is on the goal, not the process of how you get there.
Even though he is not the
one of Aro. No, that he would learn that until you have a quote halachic bris, he's still an Aro. You can be an Aro without a foreskin. Right, exactly. Right, exactly. No, I'm not saying like right, Mikasanak has a famous to Machokas for this. Right, as I said, a whole Torah. Okay. How do we paskin? Bottom line, can we have a mohelet? Or can we have only Mohalim? What's the story? So the Rambam, the Rif, the Bahag, most Rishonim, all Paskin, like the second opinion in the Gemara, a woman is kosher to do Bris Milah. Most Rishonim Paskin that a woman is kosher to do Bris Milah. The exceptions are Tosfos, the Smak, and the Hagos Mordechai. Not a Das Yochid, not an unimpressive list, but it is the minority opinion. Those who Rishonim hold that we hold like the first opinion in the Gemara, and a woman is puzzled, she cannot do the Bris Milah. It seems like that, yes. But most Rishonim do not hold that way. Most Rishonim hold that women, we pass like the second opinion in the Gemara.
And if she did it, it doesn't count?
I think that's, according to those minority opinion, yes. But the majority opinion is that she can do it. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like this. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that even though HaKol, really probably in the sense of really borrowing from the Rambam, even though HaKol Ksherin, there's a whole list of people who are allowed to do Bris Milah, including an Isha, nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that the preference should be a male Jew, not a non-Jew, and not certainly not or a woman, The ideal is, or an RL, the ideal is obviously to have a male Jew who is circumcised, and that comes first. But the implication is, and the post can bring this, but if you didn't have a man, if there was nobody there, so the Beis Yosef himself already says, and others, that if there is no man there, then a woman should do it, because we paskin like that opinion in the Gemara, that a woman is technically kosher to do a bris milah. That's the show. I think so. Even if you're not chayiv in a mitzvah, you'll have to make a bracha. We paskin, right? Ashkenazi women, maybe that'll be an afkamina. Right? The Rambam wouldn't let her make a bracha. But we can make a bracha. An Ashkenazi woman can make a bracha. I think so. The Ramah, so here's the, so that was just the Machaber. It's something very interesting. So again, just to repeat, the Shulchan Aruch says a woman is kosher, but ideally it should be a man. Says the Ramah, Yesh Omrim. Now what do you think he's going to say? Shulchan Aruch tells a woman is kosher, but better yet, but better to have a man. Then comes the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, and says, but Yesh Omrim, what do you anticipate? What is he going to say? Or, more like, but what I would have guessed is, no, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say lechachila yes, no, but the Eved yes. I would have thought Yesh Omrim, like the Hagos Mordechai and the Smak, that you can't do it at all. Shulchan Aruch paskins the woman is kosher. So when you have Shulchan Aruch saying something is kosher, and Ramah saying Yesh Omrim, you expect it, he's going to say it's not kosher. But what does the Ramah say? Yesh Omrim, that they shouldn't do it, but they know again better to get a man. What's the problem with this? It sounds like the exact same thing in the Samachaber. Who asked that kasha before you and me? The Shach. You know it's a good question if the Shach asked it. The Shach says, what is going on with this Ramah? I read the Shulchan Aruch, I know. Technically a woman could do it, but it's better a man should do it. Comes along the Ramah, Yesh Omrim, better a man should do it. We know that already. What is going on? And if you'll tell me that, well, it's, you know, maybe what the Ramah meant, what we thought he was going to say, which is that it's even b'di'evet, a woman can't do it. So says the Shach, then say what you mean and mean what you say. You don't say b'chein noagin to have men if you mean that b'di'evet, you can't have women. B'chein noagin sounds like, no, it's better, that's what should be done. That is what is done. But technically, if it wasn't done, so the Shach is very, very bothered by this. Good, so hold that thought. That's very good. That's very good. That's not the pashtus of what the halacha should be, or at least according to Shulchan Aruch, but maybe according to the Ramah, that would be true. That would be good. So first of all, you should just know, as some of you may know, there's a famous sefer called the Sefer HaBritz, which is the classic, contemporary sefer in Hilchos Bris Milah. And even though the Shach seems to say that can't be what the Ramah meant, Hitaka seems to learn that that would be the best answer. That's in fact what the Ramah was saying. Even though maybe the language wasn't so precise, but what the Ramah means is that yes, according to the Ramah, he's saying, and then, you know, Mordechai, the Tosfos does an Ashkenazic Rishonim, so maybe the Ramah was going like that, that b'di'evet, you can't have a woman be a moelis. But the Shach, not only is he a stronger authority, his reading of the Ramah anyway seems to be truer. So we need L'chorah to look for a different answer. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan and says pretty much, you says, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rosh HaKivanta, the Aruch HaShulchan says, well, what if you have the following case? What if you have no male moel in your town, but there is one in another town? But wouldn't you know it, you got a woman in town who's very good at chopping carrots. She's practiced, she never needs to do it twice. And she's confident that she could do it. She's confident. So what would you do? Would you have to go do the hishtadlus, pay the extra money, perhaps delay to get the man from the other town? Or do you take this woman who's confident she knows what she's doing? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that is the nafkamina between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. That the Shulchan Aruch was saying, it's always a male is always comes first if he's here. If you got to go run to another town to get a male, Machaber would say, no, you have a woman here, let her do it. According to Ramah, who was saying, hey, no again, so he was saying you have to even go the extra mile and the extra effort to find a man. But yes, he would admit, bottom line, push comes to shove, if a woman did it, in the end, both would agree that technically it would be kosher. The Migdal, that the Aruch HaShulchan gave the example of a different town, and the Migdal Oz gives the answer of the eighth day. What if I can get somebody, but this moel is already committed, he's going to be in Virginia, but he'll be back tomorrow. I do have a moel in my town, where he's sick today, but he'll do it tomorrow. So there also, again, would be the same idea that the Ramah is a little bit more strict in that sense, and the Shulchan Aruch might be a little bit more, so to speak, exactly in allowing it. Okay, that's basically the machlokas, and needless to say, the overwhelming minhag Yisrael is to follow that combination of Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, which is that is to make sure that to make sure that a man does that. Has anyone ever been familiar with a case in a from family where a woman did a bris? I'm not, but I could imagine a scenario. It's not impossible. Right? You were trapped in. I mean, you know, with the way Jews have had to travel in Golos and other places, I could imagine. Other stories about Holocaust. Right, his knife, right. So the shaila is, but was that a kosher meal? And the answer is probably yes. Yeah, before the baby got killed, right? I guess, right. Okay, good. Yes, Paul. You mean as the mother? Well, that's a shaila, and I don't remember how it possible. That's a shaila even if a man does the bris, but the mother's there. Or if it's a regular bris, the father does it even if he didn't do the circumcision, right? So if you only have a mother at the bris, let's say you have someone as an almond, right? The father died during the pregnancy or something. So what do you do? I don't remember. Would the mother do it or the moel do it? Or maybe a grandfather? I'm not sure. Let's see a few more. There's two more issues to mention. We'll see if we have time to do them both. Maybe not. One is I want to focus, which is also a huge discussion in Rishonim, the last answer in the Gemara. It suggests that Tzipora started the Mila and that Moshe finished it. In the case in our Chumash, again, remember the Gemara had said, how could there be any opinion that says that a woman can't be a mohelet? It's in the Chumash that Tzipora did it. So one of the answers the Gemara gave was, well, she only started, but Moshe finished. Now, who is familiar, who recalls, there's another area of Halakha, there's a certain overlap between the two areas, in which we have a discussion about the process, and we want to know, is something kosher if one person did the beginning and another person did the end? Shechita, right? Shechita, that is a famous Gemara in Masech Tachulin. We want to know about Shechita, is Yeshno Mitzil of Yatsof, is the whole process the halachic obligation? And if you have anyone who's not kosher to be a Shochet doing any of it, you're out? Or do we say no, Ein L'Shechita Elo L'Sof, that it's only the concluding, finishing up of it, and if someone who wasn't kosher to be shochet to the beginning, but a kosher shochet to the end, then it would be okay. Again, assuming that it's actually technically okay. But the point is, even if it's technically proficient, we need to have a kosher shochet. So the shaila is, however we pass in the net, but do we have a similar machlokas? Would we say something similar about bris mila? And the post can point out, clearly the answer is, no. You see from this Gemara that lekulei alma, either a woman is kosher to do the whole thing, or at the very least, the Gemara says she's kosher to do the beginning. And according to the Manda Amar that says a woman is puzzled to do the whole thing, even they are holding that she can do the beginning. So you see that apparently there's a distinction between Shechita, where it's a debate, whether you can split it between two, one being qualified, the other one being disqualified. Whereas according to Bismillah, apparently it's not a debate. Apparently everyone holds that even someone in theory, according to that opinion that holds women are disqualified, even they would have allowed it. Why should you have such a chiluk? So I'm not sure this answer is as good as the question, but the only one I saw who tried to resolve this was Rav Asher Weiss. And he made the following suggestion in the his Sefer Minchas Asher, that it really goes to the heart of the difference between Shechita and Bris Milah. He says Shechita, and this is again, as he acknowledged, both of these are subject to machlokas. But he wanted to assume that in light of this you have to say, a shechita is not a mitzvah as much as it is a machshir. Right? It sounds almost simplistic. Kosher food, it's a machshir. But the answer is it's not so simplistic, so obvious. That it's all it is a machshir. All it is a matir. It's not that it's a mitzvah shechita. Again, it's debatable, but that's what he says. That being the case, says Rav Asher Weiss, we don't know at what point is the halos hechshir. When? We know that it has to be killed. So obviously you're going to have to do the full cut, or else it's still going to be alive. But if you've killed it, at what point? Was it just the first simen, the second simen? At what point in the process did you have the chalos hechsher? Says the Rav Asher Weiss, Since we're not sure about that, that's gufa, the machlokas. Yesh na b'tchilat atzov, do we assume that the whole process is an integrated process as a whole, making a kosher? Do we just say, no, it only needs to have that, the critical moment is the last moment. That being the case, that's why there's a debate about shkita. As opposed to Mila, he also, as we saw before, he also borrows from the Beis Halevi. He says, where there, it's not the actual process of cutting, which is the mitzvah or the hechsher, where we're worried about that. It's only the end. It's only the chalos mohul, the fact that this child is now considered mahul and no longer considered an orel. If that's the case, then it's obvious that it's only the end that counts. Only the end counts in Bris Mila. It's not as obvious in Shita if it's the whole process or only the end. But in Bris Mila, where it's only the chalos mohul that we care about, so he says that shows that all we care about is the end. And therefore, even according to the opinion that a woman is disqualified from being a mohel, it doesn't matter that she did the beginning, because the beginning is just about the Maisa Chaticha. But that doesn't matter. All we care about is the result. As long as the man affects the result at the end, that's his suggestion. That's one point on this Nakuda. One more to mention is from the Kli Chemda. You know, the Kli Chemda is one of the classical Sfarim. We don't learn it enough, unfortunately. Classical Sfarim of halachic essays on the Parsha. It was a Gera Chosid, but a big Talmud Chacham. Some of them held him out almost like the Rebbe, even though he was very, very modest and never wanted to step over his place in line. He lived in pre-war Ger and pre-war Europe. And in his beautiful Sefer Kli Chemda, he wants to make another distinction based on a Rambam, which he's very bothered by, but he thinks this is how you should read the Rambam. And that is, we've been dancing around it, it hasn't been exactly our topic, but we've seen it already discussed because it was the background of the Gemara, and that is the relative differences or similarities between a non-Jew as a mohel and a Jewish woman as a mohel. From the Gemara, it seems like there's no difference. Right? The Gemara says, Tamachlokas, which opinion, which pasuk says a woman, a guy shouldn't do bris mila, and then it also says you'll have a nafkamina about a woman. So according to the Man D'Omer that says that a woman can do bris mila no problem, so then obviously there's some level of a difference. But according to the other opinion that says neither of them can do bris mila, so lechora there is no difference. So says the Kli Chemda, if you take a look at the Rambam, he says if you read the Rambam carefully, the Rambam seems to, even though he doesn't come out and say explicitly, the Rambam seems to be mashma that a guy is worse. Why? So he says the following lashon, the Rambam. I'll read you the Rambam now. Hakol ksher lomul. All are kosher to do bris mila. Afilu arel, even a Jew who never had a circumcision. Ve'eved, slave. Isha, katan. All of those are malin b'makom she'enish. Right? Which is obviously implies that the first head of the line should have been an adult male. But all of those would have been kosher. Aval akum lo yimol klal. But a non-Jew should not do bris mila at all. The imal, but if a non-Jew does the bris mila, eino tzarech lachzor av lomol boshnia. You don't have to redo it. Assuming again that it was proficient. You don't have the mitzvah, but it's okay. That's what the Rambam says. Huh? That's the implication. Now, the bottom line is, says the Kli Chemda, that he separates off Akum, where he says, lo yimo klal, from everybody else, including Isha. So the Kli Chemda says, you see that he's stronger, more negative about the possibility of a non-Jew than it would be about a woman. What, says the Kli Chemda, is he getting at? The question we just saw. If someone starts and someone finishes. We just saw that it's clear from Tzipora and the Gemara that if a woman starts, it's no problem, according to all opinions, as long as a man finishes. But he says, he wants to be medayik, that according to the Rambam, even a guy even starting is a problem, even if a Jew would finish. But he asks, why should that be? Why should that be? He doesn't understand why. And the answer he gives is very, very dachuk. So there's basically two answers that could be given. In two opposite extremes. One answer, which is suggested by Rav Shlomo Kluger, he has a sefer on Masechta Avodah Zarah called Avodas Avoda, and he says that Enechanami, everything we saw until now, forget Tzipora, that's just one opinion in the Gemara, we don't hold like that. Everything is, according to that opinion that says a woman is not kosher, she's Enechanami, she's not kosher even to do the beginning. A woman can't do the beginning, a guy can't do the beginning, No better, no worse. They're both equal. So at least the advantage of this shita is that you don't have to be struggling like the klikamda was. Why should there be a difference? Another end, it goes against the simple understanding of the Gemara and the previous Makaros that we saw. But that's what Shlomo Kluger says. The Or Sameach gives a different answer. The Or Sameach and the Piskei Tshuva quotes in the name of other Achronim something else, and that is that they reject the diuk of the klikamda in the other direction. They say that no, according to the Rambam, you read too much in. It's true that the Rambam doesn't want a guy doing a bris milah, but the Rambam meant an entire bris milah. But if a guy does the beginning and a Jew finishes, enachanami, according to the Rambam, there would be no problem. Again, so they both hold. The Chachamda thinks that there's a difference. He just doesn't understand it. And Rosh Shlomo Kluger and the Arsameach agree that there is no difference, but in opposite directions. Rosh Shlomo Kluger says that neither woman nor goyim should start, and the Arsameach says that they're both okay. I'll leave you with just one very cute nafka mina. Again, you'd have to stay as an inhabitant in the halachic universe for all this to sound practical. We're in that universe now. We're not talking about things that happen to you and me every day. Says Arsameach, but I'll give you a nafka mina. Even though he says, yes, you could have a non-Jew start, what if the bris milah was a Shabbos bris? Says the Or Sameach, then you need to have a Jew doing the entire thing. Why? Because why are we saying that a non-Jew is allowed to do even the first part? Because in essence, that's not the milah, that's machshirei milah. That's the preparation. You're preparing, not just you brought the knife, not just you boiled the water and the classical things of the Gemara Shabbos, even the beginning of the circumcision is part of the preparation for the conclusion, which is the ikkar. If that's the case, so that's the famous sugya, that the only thing that's docha Shabbos are things that can't be done before Shabbos. A machshirei milah are allowed to be, which can be done before Shabbos, or machshirei milah, excuse me, are not allowed to be done on Shabbos. And therefore, he says, we wouldn't allow a non-Jew to start and a Jew to finish. We'd only have a Jew. Lachora, I don't know, that's the Shiloh. Would the Or Sameach, I don't remember if he says it, and that would be, I was thinking about that as I said it, Barry. Would the Or Sameach go so far, and to be logically consistent, maybe he should. But you know, sometimes, you know, consistency is the habavilin of simple minds. I don't know. But he said, but you're right, if the Or Sameach was being consistent, though, he would have gone even further, and he would have even allowed Mashirei, the beginning of the circumcision, on Friday. Now, would he say that? I don't know. But it does follow a certain logical extension from what he does say. You know, I don't think he says it, and you can understand kind of intuitively why he has to try to avoid that. But on the other hand, if he was consistent, he probably would. Let me just say one last thing, and then we'll finish, and I'll stay to talk to whoever wants to. And that is that there is a whole discussion, just to conclude now with Shabbos, about women. And most poskim hold that even though, technically speaking, b'dieved, blah, 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 we allow women to be do bris milah, they say we do not allow women to do bris milah on Shabbos. And this gets into a whole discussion, a fascinating discussion of what part of the mitzvah of bris is docha Shabbos. The chiyuv of bris or the kiyum of bris? If it's the chiyuv of bris, then you would want to have a mohel who is part of the chiyuv, i.e. a male. But if you have, and if that's that, but if you hold it, no, even the kiyum of bris milah was docha Shabbos. So certainly, according to those shitas, which is how we pass, and the woman can affect the kiyum, then it would be permissible. And since that's such a questionable shayla, most poskim say even if you were in such a theoretical case where you only had a woman, you wouldn't have her do on Shabbos. Now, what I don't know, and I'm glad no one's ever asked me such a shayla, is if in one of these cases where there were no men and the bris milah was on Shabbos, what would you do? Would you say that she shouldn't do it and we would wait till the ninth day to get a male? Or would you let her do it on Shabbos? I don't know, but it's an interesting kasha. Okay, good Shabbos, everyone.